and good evening, and we'll call it better late than never tonight. Thank you for joining us here on Scriptures for America. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and I think I'll start calling this program 7 times 70, a take on Matthew 18. We'll start out with that tonight, Matthew 18, 21. Then Peter, that's the Apostle Peter, came and said to him, meaning Jesus Christ, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. So I think that's what we'll call this program, not just tonight, but maybe that's what we'll start calling it. 70 times 7, or 7 times 70, maybe a take on Matthew 18:21, because that is a commandment that we are given by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that He gave to the Apostle Peter, to forgive your brethren 70 times 7. And you know, that's one thing that is sure missing in today's society, in today's churches, in the Christian society today, the Christian circles, you might say, is forgiveness. Got a guest with us tonight here, Brent from Canada's visiting this week, and if you tuned in on Tuesday night, Kyle had him in the studio, but we had some technical difficulties, but he was there, and he joined us on Wednesday night prayer meeting, so we've got an extra wrangler here tonight, but we're going to start out with a word of prayer. And we hope you stayed tuned. Got a little bit of late start tonight. My apologies. That was my fault. I'll have to ask you, the remnant, for forgiveness for that. But I hope you stayed tuned. And I hope you continue to stay tuned throughout this broadcast. We're going to talk a little bit about Samson. Read a little bit out of the book of Judges. But we'll start out with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, this opportunity to be here. To sit behind the Radio Ranch microphone here at the Radio Ranch, what an honor. Lord, we don't take it lightly. We do take it seriously. Help us to, and help me to remember the reverence that goes along with this. But I do thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the opportunity to share your word with your remnant, with your people. I ask for your blessings on the broadcast. Guide and direct me through your word. I ask that you would open up the hearts and the ears and the eyes of your remnant out there, Lord. Let them see the truth that was told in the President's talk today. Let them see the truth about the lies that are told them day in and day out. Let your remnant, Lord, awake. Let them wake up from the slumber that they've been in and see the importance of turning back to you and of obeying your word and your law and your truth. Guide and direct us tonight, O Lord, and let this blessing be pleasing to you and a blessing to you as well as to the saints. In Jesus' name, amen. And we'll say good evening, Brent.
Good evening, Richard.
Thank you for joining us. We've had Brent here this afternoon, and oh, it's always good when he's able to visit. We get to talk about things and fellowship in here amongst the, this week it's been amongst the hay bales and working on the tractors and everything else, but we've sure enjoyed his visit. And I guess one of the current events we'll touch base on real quick here is the President was down in Pueblo in Colorado Springs. We looked at this on the news right before we came in over here tonight. Said he gave an outdoor speech to about 4,000 people, and even in his picture, you can see the teleprompters, because all he can do is read it. He sure doesn't come up with it on his own. And basically, he gave the same speech in Colorado Springs as he gave in Pueblo, and I'm just going to go right out and call him a liar, because that's just what he says here. He says, over the past 3.5 years, we worked hard to make sure we didn't slip into another depression, Obama said. We created 4.5 million jobs, and we saved an auto industry on the brink of collapse. Well, you may have you think you created 4.5 million jobs. You're a liar. You haven't done that. And I hope the people out there can see. Saved an auto industry on the brink of collapse. Have you seen Detroit?
Yeah.
Detroit used to be a beautiful city. And so did Pittsburgh. And so did all your big cities in New York. But there in the, a little bit further west of New York in Detroit, and in Pittsburgh and in those places, they used to be beautiful cities. They used to be full of hard-working, middle-class America. Red, yellow, white, and black, all of them. It's not about race. And they used to make cars. Cars and vehicles and trucks and big trucks and little trucks, and they were all made in the USA. And that's back when the auto industry was an industry. And now you look at those towns. All those jobs, all of them, not a few, all of them are in Mexico. Some are up in Canada, very few, because they're losing them as well. Yeah. I know we've talked about that before. But they're gone to China. They're gone everywhere else. He goes on to say that, talking about a tax cut, trickle-down tax cut, Obama says, we don't need tax cuts for people like me, meaning he's one of the wealthiest in the nation. We need tax cuts for working families. Then he goes on talking about the wind energy producers and you know, on and on with that. And now the wind energy, you know, that part of the economy, that has produced some jobs. But it is so heavily subsidized by the U.S. government that they could not stand on their own. Those companies can't. He lies about that in here, too. You know, he says it's time to stop spending billions in subsidies on an industry that's already making lots of profits. Well, they're making lots of profits because they've had their industry given to them. Yeah. They don't pay taxes. They get tax cuts, all types of things. It's just a lie. You know, it's just a lie. Now, I'm not a political analyst. You can go to Fox and CNN and MSNBC and get all those white shirt, red tie, blue jacket political analysts, you know. But I can sure see when somebody's lying. And it's just a lie.
It won't be critiqued that way either.
No.
Accept it.
Oh, it'll be great.
And as CEO now, he could actually pull all those jobs back from Mexico and other countries because he's in charge of that GM and what have you, right? So he could
they
bring
are.
Those back
because
say,
they
hey,
are.
Let's bring our
if
jobs
he
back
wanted
to America.
If he wanted to.
Yeah. But that won't happen.
They could. No, I thought there was a note in here about, it says, without those tax credits, 37,000 American jobs, including potentially hundreds of jobs right here in Colorado, would be at risk. See, it's a fear factor.
Yeah.
It's the doom and gloom. Yeah. 37,000 jobs? There used to be 37,000 people that made car upholstery for the cars that were made in Detroit.
Yeah.
Just that made the seats.
Yeah.
Just for the car upholstery. There were whole towns in Kentucky. And my brothers in Kentucky listening tonight, you can testify to this. And in North Carolina, Chris in North Carolina, you know about this. We've talked about it. There were mill jobs and there were manufacturing places.
Yeah.
You know, this abomination goes and because he speaks it, you know, when God speaks, that's law, not Obama.
Yeah.
He just lies about this. 37,000 jobs. That was nothing when we truly had an auto industry. When Pittsburgh made steel, why do you think the football team is called the Pittsburgh Steelers? It was Steel Town. That's where you worked. You worked in the steel mills, or you worked in the places that supported the steel mills. And yeah, it was work.
Yeah.
You got up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and you went and worked for 10 or 12 hours, 6 days a week.
Yeah.
And you came home, and you supported your family. And most of them went to church on Sunday. It was an industry. It was America. And now this abomination wants to piddle about 37,000 jobs. That's, you know, it's like we stole your nation. You know, here's a little 10 by 10 foot corner part that we'll bury you in. You get to have that and you should be happy. We've given you this. No, the nation's been stolen. And as much as I say this about the abomination, you know, people, we deserve it. We truly do as a people.
Most definitely.
We do. There is sin in the nation. It's just, you know, if we would but read our Bible, it is just the Bible story over and over and over again. We're going to read a little bit tonight.
Richard, we talked earlier about Samuel. And, you know, when they rejected God as king, and he said to Samuel, don't worry about it, it's me that you're rejecting. He said, I'll give you your king. And then he gave the whole list of what's going to happen. So, as we spoke about that, that's what he said. Now, yes. But you just gave the information on what the king said today,
yeah,
which reflects everything that God said the king would do. And our deliverance is only going to come through the King of Kings.
That's
because
right.
The slavery is incredible.
Well, you know, that wasn't even what we wanted to talk about tonight. We put up on the website about Samson. We had the opportunity to talk to our local Sunday school class this past Sunday morning and talk to them a little bit about Samson. And that's found in the book of Judges. So why don't we, just before the day gets away, before the evening broadcast gets away, let's turn back over there to Judges. And you can really look through the whole book of Judges because it really tells a story. And I guess we could open the phone lines up too. We'll push the button here and we'll open them up. 307-745-5913 if you want to call in, if you have a comment. But the entire book of Judges is, you know, it's a cycle of sin and suffering and then salvation. Now, it's not an end-time salvation. The story of Gideon is found in the book of Judges. And when you read of Gideon, you know, he was a deliverer, and he delivered. And after that, they had, Judges 8, I think in 28, Midian was subdued before the sons of Israel. They did not lift up their heads anymore, and the land was undisturbed for 40 years in the days of Gideon. And so for a time, they were delivered. But it's like you get a new king, you get a new generation, and it's just how we've been here in this nation. They forget God. They start thinking that they've done this, that we have done this. And the sin comes back in. Of course, the suffering comes back in. And once again, if and when the people will cry out to God, then the salvation comes back. And if you read through Judges, it's like that from the very beginning. It goes into the time of Gideon. If you keep flipping over to in Judges 14, you start reading about Samson. The end of 13 is when Samson is born. And, you know, the angel appears to his parents. And Judges 14, we don't have time to read it all tonight. Judges 14, 15, and 16. But we'll give you, the remnant out there, the same homework assignment we gave our local LaPorte Church of Christ Sunday school class. And that was to read the story of Samson, starting in Judges 14, 15, and 16. And see, and we're going to talk about that this next Sunday morning in Sunday school at the LaPorte Church of Christ, and talk about Samson. You know, Samson was just a man. He certainly had his faults, like we all do. As strong as he was, as much as faith that he had, you know, he was married at least a couple times. I guess you can call it marriage. The Bible does, you know. And, you know, but when you read through it, there's a couple things I think that'll kind of jump out at you. They kind of jumped out at me. One was, you know, he really wasn't that respectful of his parents. His parents had gone through, they sure loved him. But I think that lust of the flesh, that lust of the eyes, sure played pretty hard on him.
Well, he made it clear when he saw the daughter of the Philistine that it says that, look, she looked good to him. And then when he asked his parents, said, I want her. And they said, well, shouldn't he be looking at someone of our brethren or our people? And he said, she looks good to me. So right. All looks.
Yep. And isn't that how it is today? We were, you know, I hate to even admit it, but, you know, you have to go through the checkout line at the grocery store. And it's almost softcore porn just staring back at you. It really is. And is it no wonder that our children today fall into the same trap that Samson did?
You know what? 25, 20 years ago, maybe less, that would have been porn.
It would have been.
The youth are walking in line in a store, seeing something that the youth of 20 years ago would not see, and you'd have to, you know, buy it wherever, you know.
Yeah, the backwoods or the back alley store or whatever it was. And so the Bible tells us, though, that these stories of old are for our learning. They are for our exhorting. Sometimes they're there to rebuke us, because sometimes we might fall into the same trap that we see. And so we left our youth and our entire Sunday school class Sunday morning with the admonition to be stronger than Samson.
Right.
And we asked them if they could be. And then we told them that, yes, you can be stronger than Samson was. Read through the story. You can see what he did. It did talk about his weakness. It talks about, remember, Samson and Delilah. And in Judges 16 and 15, it's talking about that. And it's Delilah speaking, and she says, "Then she said to him, 'How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have deceived me these three times and have not told me where your great strength is.' And it came about when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was annoyed to death." And that's Judges 16:16. And so this Delilah, the Jezebel that she was telling him, "How can you say that you love me when you don't tell me your secrets?" And, you know, isn't that the same trick or one of the tricks that the Jezebels of today use? "Well, if you loved me, you would do such and such. If you loved me, you wouldn't do this." And, you know, we find that out there in the remnant today. The men who are doing their best to be men, and they come up against that Jezebel spirit, and that's what they play. And that Jezebel spirit has the courts of today on her side. It has society and child protective services and everything else on her side. Well, if you're facing those battles out there, you're in good company. You are in the company of Samson, because he had that very thing. She annoyed him to the point of death. Made him impatient, it says, to the point of death. And I referenced that back to Matthew 15:8. And that is the verse that says, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You know, basically, God says, people lie. They say one thing, but they do another. And that's just what Delilah did to Samson. She said one thing, but she certainly did another. And that brings us back to one of the foundational truths and foundational, it's just something that we have to have if we're going to be Christians. We have to have the discernment and the wisdom that is given to us in the Bible, where it says, "By their fruits you shall know them."
Yeah.
Now that applies to Christians, and it applies to non-Christians as well. You know, if Delilah truly loved Samson, do you think she would have bugged him in, you know, to the point of death, or annoyed him to where he just wanted to die? It's kind of like he made his bed, he had to live in it. He had to sleep in it there, wasn't it? Well, you know, the other thing that kind of referenced back to that I thought about and I shared with the Sunday school class was Proverbs 10:16. And Proverbs 10:16 tells us that there are a few things that the Lord hates. So let's flip over there. If you don't have time to turn there tonight, we're going to read it real quick, but you can write that down. Proverbs 10:16. And I wrote that down wrong, didn't I? did. Is that 16-16 maybe? Maybe it's 6. It's 6-16. Can't read my own. That's pretty bad when you can't read your own handwriting, isn't it? You think it's going to go so smooth. You got these notes and can't think too highly of ourselves. Proverbs 6:16. Six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven, which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes. And if you read the story of Samson, you'll see that Delilah had haughty eyes. A lying tongue. Again, Delilah comes to mind because that's sure what she was doing, was lying to him. Hands that shed innocent blood. Well, she was certainly involved in having Samson's eyes put out. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that run rapidly to evil. A false witness who utters lies. And one who spreads strife among brothers. And I just couldn't help but think that when I read the story of Samson and how Delilah, that Jezebel, annoyed him to the point of death, to where finally he said, whatever. This is what it is. Finally, now I've told you, are you happy? Now are you happy? I've tried so long to make you happy. Now are you happy? And it was his downfall. It truly was his downfall. Well, in the time of Samson, it was very like the time of now. That's why these stories are given to us. If you look at Judges 21:25, that's, I think, the very end of Judges, the last verse. And it says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And you read the same thing in Judges 17:6. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. And you know, remnant, that's wrong to do. It is wrong to do. We do have a king now in Israel. You've heard it by Pastor Peters. If you've ever listened to these broadcasts, you've heard him mention the battle cry that helped win the Revolutionary War for the American colonists. And that was no king but Jesus. And that wasn't just a battle cry. That was a way of life. You know, we talked about that earlier today, Brent, that, you know, that was one of the reasons that this country was blessed and prospered as much as it did, was because, of course, it was a Christian nation, but because of that, the people had a different attitude than they have today, a different outlook.
Yep.
You know, they obeyed, let's call it at least the first two, the two greatest commandments that Jesus talked about. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And that was the attitude that the people had. And because of that, they were blessed. They blessed their neighbors. And their neighbors were blessed by them.
And they looked firstly to God for everything because they were leaving oppressive government, oppressive religion. And God had this land prepared. And they looked to Him, trusted Him. And as you said, they looked after their neighbor. Their Indians were going to come in. You mentioned they're going to come in and try to take their land, take their homes, whatever, they, you know, defend themselves. Boy, they'd be out there and warn their neighbor and work together.
Right.
And nowadays it might be a little different sometimes.
It sure seems like it is. And so, you know, the signs of the times that we've talked about that we have here, again, they are just like it was in the days of Judges, in the days that this book was written. You know, they served the Baals, the false gods, the idols. You know, they had their own American Idol back then. They had their own, you know, Lady Gaga Idol back then. They had their own, they had the idols and the false gods and the Baals of the other peoples, and they worshiped them just like we do today. You know, they were oppressed by their enemies. Are we not that way today, America? We truly are. They had a civil war. You read a little bit earlier in Judges, before the time of Samson. Back here somewhere. I didn't have it marked, but the things that we as a people and as a nation are going through, there is nothing new under the sun. This abomination that we have here, coming up and lying and saying, yes, we've created all these jobs, that's nothing new. You know, he wants to be the Savior. He wants to be the Deliverer. But he's not. Well, I hope you take up this challenge to read this week the story of Samson. Judges 14, 15, and 16. And if you do, I think that if you read it with an open heart, an open mind, a mind of not saying, well, I know all that there is to know in this story. But if you read it seeking truth and seeking more biblical knowledge and wisdom, I think you'll see some new things in there that maybe you didn't see before. If you flip over to the New Testament, over to Hebrews. And oh, I can find Hebrews in here. It's right here in the New Testament somewhere, isn't it? And our question was about Samson making it into the Faith Hall of Fame. And that's over in Hebrews 11. And if you read in Hebrews 11, it talks out with the description of faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And if we only had a better understanding of faith. I know every time I think I understand what it is and I read a little bit more about it, or we read of the stories of old of the people that made it here to this Faith Hall of Fame. And even though they weren't perfect, even though they sinned, they were forgiven. And God's purpose was worked through what they did and how they persevered. So if we read on down in Hebrews 11, let's go down to 11:32. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak. Not the Barak. I'll pause there. That's not Barack Obama he's talking about here. Okay?
Pretty soon he will be quoting that himself and saying it.
He thinks that, but that's not the one. You can read about that Barak if you go back to Judges. You can read about him in Judges 4 and 5. Okay? And it's not the Barack Obama. Okay? And not in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Thought we'd throw that in there. Wanted to clarify that. What more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, of Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, and put foreign armies to flight. And so Samson is mentioned here. Now when you read back the story of Samson, here he had that lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. Sure didn't seem to honor his mother and father. But if you read through it, and now understanding, at the beginning, you will read that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. I wanted to read something else to you here. Well, I'll leave it up to you. You read the story of Samson. If you want to have more biblical understanding into what faith is, and to understanding how Samson, for all of his faults, made it into the Faith Hall of Fame. Maybe you thought I was just going to tell you. Well, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, there's something God saw in him that, at least maybe in the end.
Yes. Yes. Now, the stories that we're given in the Old Testament, the stories of our ancestors, our history, our culture, you know, we are not to always, every story we read, every time we read of someone, I think we have to be careful and not say, well, see, this person did that, so it's okay for me to do it.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't apply. If you read the story of Samson and you find out what happened to him, you know, you might not want to do the things that he did. And that's the message we gave our Sunday school class, was that be stronger than Samson. Don't fall for what Samson fell for.
There's consequences.
There are.
Yeah. And, you know, just as you mentioned, Samson and their... yeah, God knew that he married Philistine, obviously, and it may have been part of God's plan, but it wasn't part of his plan for him to become kind of a whoremonger.
Right.
He went to harlots. That's not God's plan.
No.
You know, whatever God led him to do to bring down the Philistines, because they were basically captives of the Philistines.
They were.
And, you know, so you look at the context there. And this wife that he did take, God was aware of. But... and, you know, he even mentioned there that when he went up to her, that her father had given his wife to the woman's father. Philistine's father had given her to his companion. I think it was her father. I mean, it was his. But whatever the case, had given to one of his companions, not the original one he had. And then from there, Samson went to Gaza, saw a harlot there, went into her, and then he finally got to Delilah. That's, you know, he took... you know, in his own hands and just, you know, went on with it all. So
right.
We have to be careful, as you said, Richard, we can't use an example there and to justify. And the consequences, David's consequences, his consequences.
Yes.
Sin, there's forgiveness.
And, you know, we talked about that this afternoon, that, you know, the marketing, the depths that our enemies go to get, especially, you know, this last generation, I would say the last two generations, you know, where they do not think of the consequences. You brought that up this afternoon. Mm-hmm. Excellent point. The consequences. If Samson would have thought of the consequences of going to these Philistine women, mm-hmm. of doing these things, it certainly, you know, put yourself in the position of his parents. You know, it sure seems to me, it did not honor his parents. Mm-hmm. You don't read of the children that he had. You know, and so today, again, don't fall for what Samson fell for. Don't believe the lie that Nike puts out.
Yeah.
Just do it. Isn't that Nike's, you know, trademark slogan, the swoosh, and just do it,
yeah.
Right? And they tie it into the athletic field.
Go for it.
Right. Just do it. Go for it. Work out. Run. Basketball. Blow. Just do it. Just do it.
Don't think.
But subliminally, what that tells our people is, yeah, just do it. Just sin. Go ahead. Just cheat on your wife. Just take that money at work. No, nobody will know it.
Mm-hmm.
Just you. You deserve it. Just do it. There are consequences to sinning. There are. And so we started out tonight, don't believe the lies Obama spouted today about creating all these jobs and bringing the auto industry back. It's not even a shadow of a glimmer of what it used to be. Don't believe the lies that Samson fell for, the lies of his eyes. You know, like you mentioned, Brent, Samson's parents said, you know, don't go to that woman. Wouldn't it be better to find a woman of your own? And because, you know, and I say this to the youth out there, your parents, for the most part, are on your side. You know, your parents who birthed you, who have paid for everything in your life up till however old you are when you finally move out, who wiped your butt, wiped your nose, fed you, stayed up late at night, and saw you through sickness and health, and have provided for you for 18, 20, however many years, you know, they kind of had a vested interest. They do care about you, just like Samson's parents did. And I think that's, like you said, Brent, a good example of there are consequences when you think you know better than your parents. There are consequences when you just do it because it looks good to you. Mm-hmm. Now, does that mean you're doomed to hell? You know, that's between you and God. Sometimes it's hard to see just what God's plan was here. You know, we do have to look kind of beyond Samson and look at everything that God was doing.
There's a lot. There's a, when you start looking, and there's amazing a lot of things there, isn't there?
Yes.
You know, when he said to his, you know, to his dad, "I want this woman. She looks good." And then when he said to him, you know, "Can't you take from our own?" And then he said to his father, "Get her for me. She looks good to me." You know, if any woman or man for a woman, whatever the case, looks good, and you don't have, maybe if it's a young person, they don't have the wisdom to see, to think of the future.
Right.
The father would, hopefully. I mean, nowadays it's, that's a bit of a mess, but still.
Well, that's the responsibility given to the father.
It's given to him, yeah, exactly. And most times that individual, the gal that he wants, or the guy that the gal wants, that looks good to them, do they know anything about their parents? There's a good chance they're going to be like their family. A good chance they're going to have the traits. And take a look and then project down the road, because everything is right. Sight and now. How about in the heart? How about the evidence that's already there,
yes,
of somebody produced from that family, from that generation? Is that what you want to be part of? You know, there's something you can pull just out of here. You know, just the Samson story on its own, never mind the whole deliverance of Israel. But as you said, like, there's a lot in there.
There
and
is.
Right there, that example alone. How many consequences could be stopped of destructive Jezebelian marriages, or, you know, or vice versa, the guy, whatever, could be prevented if it wasn't just, looks good, go for it, get it, it's yours now, take it, go.
Right. We have to look, and if you'll take this challenge, I think you'll see this. You have to look beyond Samson in this story. And if you'll read the story, you'll see beyond Samson. And that applies to our own lives as well. When things happen to us, whether it's desires that we have or events that happen, we have to try to look beyond ourselves, beyond it looks good to me, mm-hmm, or beyond I just want to just do it. We have to do that.
You know, how about just in general with sin? You know, sin is, you know, God, Jesus died because of sin. How about taking away something that God may have in you to give to others, or for his kingdom, for his gospel? Sin will suck that out, because you're, yes, not going to be of the mindset to be able to do that. How about that alone, just what sin can do?
Huh.
And
amen.
And it's something that, who knows what he has in the future for us down the road, but do we want to him say, well, you know, this could have been for you, so we've got to be thinking bigger on everything in Christ, you know.
We do. The Judges 16, toward the end of it, 28. You know, Samson's been, he was up high and he's been brought low. They seized him, They paid off his wife. They gouged out his eyes. They threw him in prison. How long he was there, a grinder in the prison, bound with bronze chains, who knows? I think years. I think years.
Yeah.
And in 28 it says, then Samson called to the Lord and said, O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me just this time, O God, that I may at once be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested and braced himself against them, the one with the right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bent with all his might so that the house fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he killed in his life. Then his brothers and all his father's household came down, took him, brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtetal in the tomb of Manoah his father. Thus he had judged Israel 20 years. And so it seems that, you know, at the time that Samson spent in that prison, grinding away, it seems to me he had time to contemplate. Mm-hmm. And I can't help but think that he looked back on his life and he thought, what if?
Yeah.
And I think he remembered those times that his dad told him, you know, son, take a wife from your own people.
Yeah.
No, Dad, I want to do this.
She looks good. I want her.
You know, it says that a couple times in there. She looked good to him. Yeah. It was his eye, and that is what they struck
That's
out.
What they took out.
That is what the enemy removed from.
Yeah, excellent point. Yeah.
And you know, well, not even tying that into the parable of it. You know, if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out.
Yeah.
And better to enter the kingdom maimed,
yeah,
than not at all.
Yeah.
And I just can't help but think that Samson had time to contemplate and to think back. And so we'll leave that with you tonight as the broadcast rolls down this August 9th of 2012. Contemplate before you fall for what Samson fell for.
Yeah.
Don't just do it. Think about the consequences. You know, Samson, I think one of the reasons that he made it into the Faith Hall of Fame was he finished well.
He still believed in his state that,
yes,
by, you know, one could say, well, he wanted vengeance for himself. He actually still believed that God could give him that strength,
right,
even though he was where he was at. And
right,
there's the key, I think.
And he asked again for the Spirit of the Lord to come upon him.
Yeah.
And when that Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he was God's mighty warrior.
Yeah.
When he didn't have that Spirit of the Lord upon him, and he trusted in his flesh, you know, that was his downfall.
Yeah.
It truly was. And it is that way today. We have the story of Samson. We have the entire Bible here to tell us how to be God's mighty warrior, how to be his rod of either forgiveness, 70 times 7, or sometimes his rod of correction for others, whether it's a rebuke or a reproof, or just his friend, to walk in the garden and to have communion with him and to speak and talk with him. But we have to have that Spirit of the Lord come upon us,
yeah,
for us to do that. And we get that from reading the Word and from hearing the Word. Well, we're about out of time. We hope you've enjoyed hearing the Word tonight from Judges, from Hebrews, from Proverbs, from Matthew. 7 times 70. Remember that this week. Remember that if you're wronged by a brethren. Those were the words of Christ. Thank you for joining us on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. Scriptures for America broadcasts are archived at the website scriptures4america.org. The complete broadcast schedule can be seen at the network website, www.sfawbn.com. Our address, if you want to write, is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535.